Hello, and welcome to This Week I Learned, your audio guide to the most surprising discoveries and fascinating studies of the week. I'm your host, Lauren Hansen. This week I learned some great news for all of you aviophobes out there. Turbulence feels much scarier than it actually is, and it will not, in fact, rip your airplane out of the sky. If you've flown recently, you'll know that turbulence can come at any time, in any weather, with no warning and varying degrees of heart-pounding ruckus. That's because the things that cause turbulence are many and fickle. Changes in atmospheric pressure, jet streams, the swirl of air around mountains, cooler or warm weather fronts, and thunderstorms. Turbulence can feel violent to the passengers inside the cabin, and if you're one of the unlucky who are not obeying the seatbelt sign, then you can definitely be in for a world of pain. But for the safely seated and seatbelted, you'll pretty much escape unscathed, save for the remnants of your spilled tomato juice. In fact, the Federal Aviation Administration reports that among the 800 million people who fly in the U.S. each year, there are less than 50 injuries due to turbulence. And frankly, most of that is happening to the cabin crew who can't get a chance to buckle in time. Turbulence actually feels much worse inside the cabin than what's actually happening to the airplane. In the cockpit, turbulence actually registers as only a twitch on the altitude meter, so the plane isn't even moving around all that much. And on the one hand, that's because pilots are trained to deal with it. When possible, pilots will make adjustments, like a change of altitude or speed to avoid turbulence, though most of the time they just ride it out. It also helps that our airplanes are specifically built to withstand the most severe turbulence. Before going into flight, airplanes are put through a series of stress tests where they go up against extremes far beyond anything they'll ever encounter in the air. One test flexes and bends the airplane's wings to see how much they can take, and incredibly, the wings of most passenger jets these days can be bent up to 90 degrees without fail. And plane systems are only improving the way they detect changes in air pressure, which can help with run-ins with really rough turbulence. The bad news is, turbulent systems are on the rise. Increased levels of carbon dioxide in the air are thought to be causing more turbulence. So things may continue to be rocky up in the air, but rest assured, you're safe. Spilled tomato juice or no. This week I learned that pigeons can read, sort of. Scientists have a fascination with the pigeon brain, which is about as big as the tip of an index finger, and yet seems to operate very similarly to our own brains. In this new study, researchers trained 18 pigeons gradually over an 8-month time period. First, these pigeons learned how to eat from a food tray by responding to light, then they learned to recognize shapes, and then words. Every time they did something right, they were rewarded with food. Out of the 18 pigeons, researchers identified the 4 smartest pigeons and taught them to distinguish between 4-letter words and 4-letter non-words. So non-words were filtered through a screen, and researchers would add 1 real word at a time. When a non-word came up, the pigeon was taught to peck at a star shape, which wasn't in a fixed spot. When a real word popped up, the pigeon was to peck the actual word. When they got a word right, the researchers would add a new word to the system. But they also altered the words into non-words to throw the pigeons off. So if very was the word, the researchers would switch the letters so that it wouldn't be V-E-R-Y, but V-R-E-Y. And the pigeons, for the most part, still figured it out. Ultimately, the pigeons performed much better than baboons did in a similar study. The 4 pigeons learned to discriminate between 26 and 58 words. Now, of course, pigeons aren't attaching meaning to the words they're being shown. They just know how to distinguish between them. But that doesn't mean they can't in the future. Research has shown that with enough training, baboons can be taught to perform rudimentary reading. So why not pigeons? This week I learned that fidgeting is good for your health. We are sinning a lot these days, whether it's for hours on end at a computer in your office or kicking back at night binge watching your favorite TV shows. And that muscular immobility can have really terrible health consequences down the road, like obesity and diabetes. Worse yet, sitting for hours on end can also have a more immediate negative effect on our vasculature system, the system through which our blood flows. You see, what happens is when we sit for long periods of time, the blood flow to our legs abruptly and significantly declines. And this is a problem. The cells that line the walls of our blood vessels sense the sudden change in our mobility and begin pumping out proteins that harden and narrow the arteries. Now, from a biological point of view, this makes good economical sense when it comes to blood flow. If a part of your body isn't in use, the arteries don't need it to be as flexible. So it's kind of like closing up shop and focusing on the parts of the body that are active. Of course, what the body doesn't know is that all of our sitting is actually temporary. So when you get up and your blood flow increases, these blood vessels still remain stiff, which increases blood pressure, raising the risk of health problems that could lead to heart attacks and heart disease. Of course, you can remedy this situation by getting up regularly at work, just taking a brief little walk, walking to get water, to the bathroom, what have you. But sometimes that's just not possible. Enter fidgeting. A new study wanted to test if those little movements could in fact increase blood flow to the leg. So researchers recruited 11 healthy college students, planted them at a desk for 3 hours, rooted one leg to the ground, and then had them fidget at regular intervals with the other leg. And even scientists were surprised by what they found. At the end of the 3 hours, scientists tested the arteries in each leg to see how they responded to changes in blood pressure. The unmoving legs no longer worked as well as they had during baseline testing, whereas the fidgeting leg responded well or even better than it had at baseline testing. The changes were much more significant than expected, suggesting that although the muscular contractions that occur with fidgeting are really, really small, they are sufficient in combating some of those unhealthy consequences of sitting. This week I learned some fascinating facts about the structure of the human ear. The shape, the size, all those elements contribute to the way we hear. So that outer part of the ear, the part that may stick out or lay flat against the head, that's called the pinna. And it acts like a horn in that it gathers sound. No matter how yours is particularly shaped, everyone's pinna is to some degree pointed toward the front, which allows the ear to gather more sound from what it's facing than from the sound behind it. If you have particularly large ears that stick out, then your ears can actually help drown out the noise behind you and help you focus on the noise or the person in front of you, perhaps making you a better listener. People with flatter ears may have better monitoring abilities, being able to pick up the sounds from all sides. Another detail that's interesting is that everyone's ear has its own distinct markings, like little bumps, ridges, and folds. And these actually alter the frequencies of the sounds we hear, creating a unique sound signature for each person. And that does it for this week's episode of This Week I Learned. Look out for new episodes every Friday on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about any of the facts I've mentioned or to check out more podcasts from the week, including 7-Minute Opinions and 7-Minute Explainers, go to theweek.com/podcasts. And if you like what you hear, subscribe, tell your friends, or give us a rating or a review on iTunes. I'm Lauren Hansen, and thank you so much for listening.
I'm Josh Barrow.
And I'm Lynette Lopez. And this is Hard Pass, the podcast that definitely doesn't want to go to spin class with you.
Every Monday, Josh and Lynette will unpack, examine, and dismiss something you've been trying to ignore.
Aspen's full of rich people who are more or less screaming, "I'm rich, bitch."
All these little nerds on Wall Street want to be just like him.
The airlines are like flywheel. And as the airlines—
I just don't like this.
With each episode, you'll know more than you wanted, and that lunch at your desk will taste just a little bit better.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts or at Hard Pass Podcast on Twitter.